They say life is too short, the here and the now, and you're only given one shot. But could there be more? Have I lived before? Or could this be all that we've got? If I died tomorrow, I'd be alright.
We all go through things, and we all heal in our own way, but we're never alone. Here's your host, Craig Eugene.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Insights Radio. I have with me this evening a wonderful person, and not just in the things that she does, but as we go through this next hour, you guys will, at the end of the show, agree with me. This is one of those ladies that you just call sweetheart, because that's what she is. And I absolutely love her little website that she has. The one thing, the little statement that really stands out, inspiring the heart and healing the soul. And with that, I want to bring on Gemini Rose.
Wow, Craig, thank you. What a great intro. Thanks very much for having me. And it's so funny that you say that, because I'm thinking, no, about 20 minutes ago, I was really, you know, full of anxiety and rushing around trying to get everything ready for the radio show. And I was probably kind of cranky. And so I'm thinking, oh, what a humbling moment. So I'm not always nice, but I try. But thanks for having me. I always enjoy being here with you. It's lots of fun, great energy, very laid back. And it's just always a really good time. So thanks for having me here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, you know. Jim, you know, I was actually talking to Jeffrey Silman before the show a little bit, and I think you were like my second guest when I started this little venture called Internet Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have both been through a lot since that first show. And one of the things I want to talk about a little bit tonight, because I think sometimes people have this misconception of people in this business, and they think, oh, you know, they got it made. You know, they charge X amount per hour, and, you know, they know everything that's going on around them, and how could there be anything wrong with them, or how could their life not be 100% where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel, Jim, that maybe being in this business, and we'll get into a little bit more of the business part of it as we go through this, but do you feel that being here, doing what you do, and by here I mean the physical aspect of where we are today, that we probably get tested more than the average person?
Tested?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting idea. I would say it's certainly possible, because if you are in alignment with your soul's purpose, and you're doing what you're doing because it is part of a calling, and not only just a calling to do a specific line of work, and all lines of work definitely have value and are giving in different ways, but this is one specific line of work, especially for me, that is also it's a very spiritual path. It's a very emotional path. It's a very giving and nurturing path, and it is definitely full of challenges, for sure. And I suppose you could put it as maybe we're tested more, or perhaps it is more that we're just given more challenges, because in order for us to genuinely do what we do and be any good at it and have any leg to stand on, I mean, let's look at it this way. Who, if we're doling out advice, whether it's psychic advice or emotional support or encouragement or inspiration or whatever, who wants to take any kind of inspirational message away from somebody who hasn't been there before? And so I've mentioned before that I really believe that all of the challenges that I have lived through and overcome up until this point, and they've been really eclectic and quite a variety, but I feel that all of those have made me a better psychic, a better medium, a better person. They've made me grow as a person. There's a lot of character development in coming up against something, finding the silver lining in it, finding what it is that you were supposed to get out of that experience, and then walking away better for it. And perhaps that might be why we're given a variety of different tests, because I know everybody's given challenges in life. But and then we can later take that information and use it, because if you've been there before, you remember what that feels like. So then the next time I sit down with a client and I start seeing symbolism from my own life or having feelings of places I've been before or experiences I've been in, then I can look at that client and go, oh, I know what this is. I know exactly what's going on here. And then you move from there. So it's almost like we have to build a schema of experience in order to be more effective at what we do.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that sometimes, and this is something that I've kind of discovered, or a shift in me the last 3 months or so, is, you know, I don't look at things the way I used to. I look at things more from a spiritual perspective than I do the physical perspective, which mm-hmm. sometimes people look at me like I've bumped my head too hard, and, you know, maybe I have. But let's kind of nail down some of the things with Gemini. And I don't want to sound like I'm picking on you here.
But you do, but so I go do, ahead.
And I kind of enjoy it. But you've come a long ways, baby. I mean, you really have. And the purpose of that question, and not to pick on you, but... you know, I've went through a lot of things also in regards to where I was in, you know, back there a ways, mm-hmm. and where I'm at today. And you have pretty much done the same thing. You know, you went from that 8-to-4 job, or 8-to-5, whatever you want to call it, to, you know, doing this job, in this business. And sometimes being in this business is not an easy thing to do.
A lot of times. And I suppose you could just ask, you know, ask my boyfriend. Like, he's firsthand, or ask my daughter. She's seen me go through the years of it. And it is a challenge. And you're right, because both of us came from a situation in which, like you said, the solid paycheck and the hours were guaranteed. But you know what? I'm a teacher at heart, and that's where I came from. That's the path I matriculated from before I got here. So, but I'm a healer, I'm a nurturer, and I'm an entrepreneur. I can't help it. It's in my blood, my father and my brothers, and it's where we come from. And I love doing my own thing, and I love owning my own baby and watching it grow, and all of those people that are listening who have ever endeavored on their own business venture before, there are lots of risks that you have to take. It's something that you are giving your heart and soul to all the time, and if you don't, you're probably not going to make it. So there are no hours. We're working all hours. I would assume that's the same for you. You know, there are some sessions in the morning, some in the afternoon, some in the night, and then there's the life in between. And I've got the daughter in middle school, and I have an infant at home, or he's one now, and so stay pretty busy. But I wouldn't change it for anything, because it's exciting. It's never the same thing, ever. Ever. Like, there are always new people and new experiences, and whereas we might find that there are themes within the readings and we seem to attract a certain theme of people from time to time, it's still every individual case is different, and I'm always wowed at the miracles that I get to be a part of and that I get to witness, because just when I become complacent and I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing, then something happens that just blows my mind and I go, that's why I do what I do. That is exactly why I do what I do. And then I get snapped back into it. And so I have so much gratitude to be where I am, even though it's difficult and it is probably not what it appears to be from the outside, because we don't know everything. like, we're swimming through life like everybody else. Right. The thing that helps us is that perhaps we've just learned to listen a little more, or because we are more in tune. However, that can be trickier too, because when you're watching, I was talking about this earlier with someone, when you are watching for those signs and synchronicities that are supposed to be your guideposts, that are showing you which way to go, sometimes you feel like you're pulled this way with the signs, and the next thing you know, you're pulled back that way, and it's like you're this pendulum or something. And then I said, you know what? It's like a zigzag. That's what my guides are showing me. It's like a zigzag. And then I heard, yes, even though there's movement this way and that way, you're always progressing forward. And I thought that was interesting and that helped. And I think that so much of the time, because we are intuitive and we do get snippets about what's to come, we get confused about if it's supposed to be right now, or, oh, okay, well, this is the sign that that's going to happen. Is that happening now, or is that later? And like, and then you get frustrated because you know that this is point C, and I am eventually going to get to point C, but right now I'm only at point A, right, and I still have to live it until that point. So sometimes I just think, let's just be in the moment and not even worry about that future stuff, and let's fix what we've got going on in the here and the now. It's really effective.
Let's talk a little bit about healing. And it's something that if I had a choice out of everything that I do, and Spirit came to me and said, you can pick one, what would it be? It would be healing for me. It's something that I absolutely love doing. What is your niche, Jim? What's the one thing that you would grab a hold of?
Oh, man. Yeah. And by healing, you do mean like the physical energy healing and the Reiki and all that, right?
Yep.
Okay. If I had to just pick one between the teaching and the life coaching and, it would be the mediumship. There is nothing like sitting with somebody who just needs to know that mom is still there, or who, you know, dad passed right before the plane landed and they weren't able to make it to his bedside before he went. Or somebody who's lost a child, or a grandmother, or a lover. It doesn't matter. There's something really rewarding about sitting with someone and being able to validate for them that person, not only does the person still exist in some form, but that the love and the compassion and the connection, the relationship, that still exists in some form, and that there is support. And that our loved ones do support us and they give us signs. And that's really cool. People cry a lot. And I don't like it when people cry, but I can tell when they're crying that there's a lot of healing going on. And then that brings me a lot of joy. So I would have to say it's the mediumship aspect of what I do.
Healing.
Yes.
Did you say healing?
Healing.
I'm just picking on you.
You're such a punk. Yes, healing. And that's why when you said I would pick healing, I thought everything we're doing is healing in one way or another, but I know that's you're really good. I hear rave reviews from people about how effective you are with the Reiki and the distance healing, and so I know that that's where your heart is and you excel at it. So that's awesome.
But I'm going to put an explanation point on that. And I think that, readings and doing what we do, the whole spiritual aspect of this is very healing. And, my business has changed, and I'm going to say that yours probably has too. There was a point there when I talked to a lot of Tommy's and Johnny's and Mary's and Susie's, and they were all wondering when the other party was coming back to them. Today, it's real life stuff. People are concerned about the economy. Am I going to lose my home? Mm-hmm. Will I find a job? And I think as the economy shifted, so did what we do. Have you found that to be true too?
Yes, I would say that there are a lot more people seeking advice on a professional level. And I use the word advice, but it's funny because I will tell people that I'm not going to tell you what to do, and Spirit right. won't tell you what to do. My friend Judy, who's a medium, she always says, Spirit will never tell you what to do. They will say, if you do this, this will happen, and if you do that, that will happen. And then you have to make the choice for yourself. And it's really true. So I use the term advice loosely, but I do feel that a lot of people are seeking direction or guidance or information, or even just inspiration and some encouragement in which way to go. And so many people are in a change of career or going back to school. I would say the number of people going back to school right now is, I haven't seen any numbers or statistics, but my estimation would be it's probably higher than what is typical. So yes, now granted, I do get a lot of people with requests about love, and I don't think that's ever going to change, because that's what makes the world go round. When the economy is garbage, if it is garbage, or we don't have a job or whatever it is that one thing that's free, as long as you have it and can find it. And then, of course, having love or having another person offers the support to maybe get through the more difficult times. Where we really run into trouble is when they need help with the love and the major transitions. And then you have to prioritize and go, well, got to focus on this one first and that one after. But it is ever evolving. And I'm noticing the more I do this, I think I keep attracting different types of clientele. I've had the pleasure of reading for some really incredible people who are just meant for very big things in this world. And then I sit back and go, I am so lucky. I'm so lucky that I met this person, and I'm so lucky that I got to be a part of this process and maybe nudge them in the right direction, or the messages from God come through me and they know, all right, this is what I meant to do. But I've been the first to say, I want an autograph later when this happens, right. Or, I can't wait to come visit you at this retreat. Or I just get really excited because I've been able to read for a lot of really amazing, amazing people. And that's definitely an upside to what we're doing.
And speaking of healing, and, I've been doing a lot of reflecting on business the last few weeks, and
me too, Craig. Just saying.
The one thing that I have to say is, I do not think that there's one person that I've read for in the last 10 plus years that hasn't given me just a little bit of something too at the end of the call. And those few that you get that. You get off the phone and sometimes I sit here and I think to myself, oh God, I pray to hell I'm right on that, you know. And you know, and then a few days later or a few weeks later, you know, here comes an email from them validating that the things that you had talked with them about have started to happen. And that's an awesome feeling. That's kind of that little pat on the back that sometimes we don't give ourselves in this business. But do you find, Jim, that as you go through and you work with different people, that there's little snippets of this and that ring true for you, and maybe you needed that little kick in the butt too?
Absolutely. And I was going to say this earlier, but maybe my psychic vibes were telling me to hold off until you asked the question. Or maybe you picked up on me and that's why you're asking. Yes. Yeah. In fact, a lot of times when I'm reading for somebody, I'll say, you know what? I'm the same way. And we, blah, 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 blah. And I'm being told that you and I, da, 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 da. So it is oftentimes that I get a reading or a talking to from a guide or a higher up, just the same time as this other person is getting it. And yes, it doesn't matter whether it comes as a message, one of those Me Too messages where I need to also pay attention, or if it's somebody who taught me patience, or somebody who taught me even, we've done a lot of readings, and so it's kind of rare that we learn new vocabulary is what I would call it. But sometimes I will see something, and what I mean by that for those people listening is when spirit communicates with me, they'll use my vocabulary, if you will, or pictures or images. They'll use the same thing over and over again to represent something. So sometimes when I see something else, I go, I have no clue what this is. Or I'll have a physical sensation because I'll get information on how a person passed. And like a brain aneurysm feels like a popping at the back of the head to me. Or a heart attack is very, I always recognize a heart attack. So I may learn a new physical sensation and I'll say, what is this at this person? And then I'll describe what it feels like, and maybe it's something that's more uncommon, and I learned something new. So there's always something new to glean from any experience, but I'm always being taught, and my clients inspire me right along. They inspire me too, and that's what's really cool about connecting the way that we do. So yeah, there's always something to take away from it.
Jim, let me ask you this. Going through life, and I'm talking back as a youngster, and I kind of think that you're dealing with some of this at home now with a couple of kids. And what was it like for you, being who you are, and all at once realizing that, wow, not everybody's like me, I'm different?
And you know what? There are a lot of people out there that can identify with that. And I think throughout life, most of us go through some point at one time or another when we feel like we don't fit in or we feel like an outcast. I always felt like that. Well, I won't say always. Maybe once I got through middle school, when I got into high school, I started to feel more like I fit in. The thing was, though, that back then it wasn't as if I was identifying these things were happening to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Now, my own daughter, who's now in middle school, she'll say, well, I was picking up on so-and-so's negativity, or she'll come in and say, does your head hurt? I have a really bad headache. So she's already aware, because of the environment that she's growing up in, that there's a lot to pick up on from other people. I didn't know that back then. I was super, super sensitive. And now I've gotten that under control and been able to harness that sensitivity for a productive use.
Right.
But really emotional. Also, I felt like I could tell when somebody was looking at me from behind or across the room or what they were thinking, and it just made me feel paranoid, really. So that was tricky. I can remember once when I was younger, knowing that a family member was going to die. And at that time, I was only, you know, maybe sixth grade or something. And I just knew that he was going to die. And I wasn't real close to him. And to be truthful, he kind of scared me. But then when he passed shortly after, I was so afraid that I did that. I was really afraid that I thought about that and I made him die. And of course, I never brought it up to anybody because it felt like a secret. You know, that's not something you want to admit, that you made this family member person die. So I kind of internalized that. But I even remember being little and sitting with our dogs. We had little puppies from time to time, and feeling like if she wasn't feeling well, I should be able to put my hands on her and make her feel better, you know, through some kind of weird psychic healing. And so I thought it was my imagination, but I also grew up in a house where we had an open relationship with God, and my mother prayed and she would get answers, or she'd say, you know what, I was talking to God today and this is what he told me. And I thought that was normal. But later learned that not everybody communicates with the divine that way, and people might think you're crazy if you say that you talk to God and God talks back. So little clues here and there tipped me off that maybe there is something different going on here. But it can make a person feel kind of weird. And when you're younger, you don't know how to embrace the weirdness. You don't know how to say, I'm really different, and that's cool because that's me, because you don't want to be weird. You want to be like the other people and fit in. So it made me very insecure and had a low self-esteem. And so it can be challenging, just like with anybody else that feels ostracized for one reason or another. But I mean, I can remember being 10 or 11 and it's the middle of the night and I feel like there's this negative something around me, and here I am saying the Lord's Prayer and Jesus's name, I'm casting out the demons and all of this, and I think, you know, was that all that normal for somebody who's 10? But I could feel those energies around me, and buddy, I knew how to pray and I knew how to create some light and get rid of that. And I talked in prayer all the time, and I heard back, and I thought that was so cool. Yeah.
Jim, do you feel that you are where you're supposed to be? Don't take that in a negative tone, but I mean, I feel like every day I learn something new, or every day I see something different. And, you know, I've went from just doing readings to, you know, doing healings and cord cuttings and several different things that I've expanded on. Do you feel the same?
I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
I just drew a total blank. What did you ask me? I was with you, and then all of a sudden, I wasn't.
No, I'm just wondering, I mean, is Gemini satisfied doing what you're
doing? Oh, am
now?
I where I am?
Yeah.
Where I'm supposed to be. You know what? I'm kind of the school of thought that I'm always where I'm supposed to be, but not yet where I'm going to be. And this is just another step to get where I'm meant to go. So I do feel that I'm always where I'm supposed to be, but it can sometimes be frustrating, like I was saying earlier, when you know that there are these other destinations and we're not there yet. However, I feel that way because I know that I'm answering a true calling. I know that I am currently in the process of doing what I'm meant to do, maybe not what I'm meant to do forever. I feel that this is just one facet of the work that I'm meant to do while I'm here on Earth. But I don't know that I would feel the same way if I were in any other line of work. And whenever I think about maybe I should go back to teaching for the reasons that we talked about, the hours are a little more predictable. But I have to, I mean, all those teachers out there, there is a reason that I left the profession. I mean, it's a lot of work. It doesn't end 8 to 4. You take it home with you. You think about it all night. You think about how to help this kid or that kid and grading the paper. So, and then I think, I don't think I want to go back to that. And people have told me, you know, if you do that, that you will be unhappy because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're going to feel that every day, and you're going to feel like you're not giving to the world the way that you're supposed to. Now, I do know that the time I spent in school for education and the time that I spent with the children and in the classroom gave me invaluable experience, changed me in many ways, gave me lots of skills that I needed that I'm going to be able to, that I can put into use doing what I do now, because now I can teach adults. I've learned about how we learn and the human psyche. And so I was definitely where I was supposed to be then too. It was just all a stepping stone, and it's one step after another. And it's kind of like the dot to dots that you did when you were little, just number one and then number two. And wow, what a metaphor. This is a new one for me too. It hasn't come to me before, but it's like a dot to dot. And here I am at step one, and here I am at step two. And when you start out, it looks like just a whole bunch of dots on the page. Doesn't make any sense. You don't even know what the picture is unless you're psychic or you can just infer. But then you have to take it a step at a time and little bit by little bit. Maybe the picture starts to take form, or you go, oh, I think it looks like this. Oh, no, wait, maybe it doesn't look like that. But you have to go from one to the next in order to create the whole. And then when you're done, you have your little dot-to-dot masterpiece.
I still color that way.
Do you?
Yeah. It's the only way I can color.
I love it. I'm thinking right now of a girl I know who does spirit art. Abby Rose, if she's listening. I'm like, I'm pretty sure she doesn't do dot to dots.
No. I actually had Abby on my show. And gosh, I want to say she drew like 6 or 7 pictures in the time that she was on the air with me.
She is a fun chick.
Yep.
Yeah. Then I worked up at the camp in Wisconsin, Camp Waniwak, with Abby, and watching her do her thing. I mean, Judy, one of the mediums up there, she laughs and says she looks like a chimney sweep because she's got the chalk all over her face and her nose and her hands, and she's down on the ground or the church floor, and she's like feverishly going at this and creating, and she's not looking, she's talking the whole time, she's flipping it upside down and side to side, and it's like there's no way that she's, how could she be cognitively like processing what she's doing? So you can tell that she's, you know, spirit's just working through her. But I would also imagine, you know, there's probably just an element of artistic genius in that too. I mean, Beethoven and Bach, I'm sure that they had some artistic genius too, but they were probably also channeling. So, you know, never know, but she's really, really fascinating to watch, and she's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that came to my mind. I'm like, I'm pretty sure she doesn't do those. But it was a good metaphor for me at the time, right where I was supposed to be.
There you go. So, Jim, let me ask you this. You still doing your blog and your little articles? I didn't mean it that way.
Take it that way.
your articles for the
column for the local paper?
Yeah.
No, that was something that, with the baby and the two businesses and everything else that I had going, I had to trim the time, and sometimes you have to let go of certain things. It was good experience. I enjoyed it. It was really cool to be able to share with my community, because I don't think there's really at that time, at least, there wasn't anybody doing what I was doing, or at least sharing it the way that I was. So that was exciting. It's just not something that I could keep up with. Doesn't mean I won't return to it, but okay, I'm not going to return to it. It was another dot on my dot to dot, and it was good experience, but I have bigger writing projects that I have to tackle, and I am getting things lined up now over these next couple months to be able to bring that into fruition so I can manifest some of those books that I am supposed to write.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience.
So you still haven't written a book?
Shush your mouth. I know, I'm creating the time. Because it's just tugging at me. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've had these outlines. I have the outlines, know what they're going to say. It's just a matter of you need to sit down and do it. But again, it's that divine timing. And I am a big believer in when something is right, it usually just hits me. And it's like, now. Now is the time. It's kind of like all those false starts. Oh, okay, are we going to go? Oh, we're not going to go yet. Oh, we're going to go now. Oh, no, not yet. Okay, now we're going to go. And that's how it feels. So I know when the time is right, it'll just click and everything will fall into place. And it will, God has a way of clearing the path, you know, or the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call your higher power. But I have learned that when the path isn't being cleared or there's obstacle after obstacle, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to go that way eventually. It's just that perhaps you're supposed to take a detour or another route, or maybe we have to be patient and just give it a little more time before it's right. And then it's amazing. That's one of the things I love about being in tune. And we were talking about this earlier today, a client and I were, is that When you're in alignment with the source, the synchronicities in life are so cool. And it's like every day is this adventure and you end up with this really cool story to tell everybody. You'll never believe how this happened and then who I bumped into and then what they told me that led me to this. That it's just, and it happens all the time. And it's just so cool and so exciting. And I know that I'm going in the right direction when those synchronicities start happening like that. When life gets exciting like that and I need to call people to share these stories that they just aren't going to believe, then I know I'm going the right way. And I feel like that's where I am now. And I'm at the precipice of some major transition again. And then it's going to become a reality. And I'm really excited because my guides have been showing me this forever. Like, when is that going to happen? And maybe I've hurried it up because through my meditations, whenever I'm working on, it's the sacral chakra, I guess that's the orange one, right, Craig?
Yep.
All right. When I'm working on that, when I always affirm to myself, I'm a highly successful human being and person. I'm a highly successful medium and published author and wife and mother and et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm working on manifesting those things through working with that chakra, and I think it's paying off. I'm seeing a lot of those affirmations coming to fruition, so that's pretty cool.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's something that I think people don't totally understand sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I used to have this little cool thing on my Keen page, and actually stuck it on my Facebook page for a little while, you know, and I'm a firm believer that if we can dream it, we can live it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can create things, and I'm not talking about the negative stuff that comes our way sometimes. I really believe that if we really put our heart and soul into something and really believe that we can make it happen.
I agree.
So,
is this a question? I love
it. Yeah, actually,
love
this is turning into a wide open question for you here. So, Gemini Rose, how do you make that, how do you put that into your life and make that happen. And I'm just going to throw this in there. I think that sometimes we as humans, and I see this a lot in some of my clients, that they are so set on something, and they're looking for the end. They're looking for the big picture, and they're not happy with the little things that happen to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
How would you suggest to somebody that is struggling with that, that's trying to manifest something in their life, and they're getting little signs here, a little sign over there, but that big explosion hasn't happened yet?
That's a really interesting question. First of all, I just want to tell you, the reason for my little exasperated sigh was I thought you were going to pick on me, but you didn't, and so that was very good. Now back to your question. And that is not an easy question, because it's definitely a case-by-case scenario. But I do, I have taught a lot of courses on manifestation and workshops. First of all, and it depends on what school of thought you're from, what your spiritual and religious beliefs are. But I believe that, yes, we have creative power and we are in control here in the physical. I also believe, though, that we made some of those choices before we incarnated, when at that time we had a little more foresight and we probably knew what might be better for our soul during this lifetime. And then maybe we got a little stupid once we got here. So some of those things may be destiny that we chose before. But I'm a big believer in that we are co-creators. And I personally find a lot of comfort in that. And co-creating meaning I'm working with the divine. I'm working with God or the universe or the source. And we work together as partners to create whatever it is that we've decided needs to be done during this lifetime. And I like being a co-creator, because it can be scary to know that, I mean, sometimes you need just a little magic or a miracle or whatever you want to call it. And it's nice to know that there is this higher power bigger than myself that also has their hands in this situation and the circumstances. And I have seen evidence of that in my life many times, because there have been times when I have said, you know what? I'm giving this to you. I defer to you on this, because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to get out of this situation. And I'm just going to have to let you take over and take the wheel on this one. And it works. For people in that situation, you have to remember that you're co-creating, and that just because you have a specific picture, if your intent, let's just say you want to be very successful at one specific goal, and you have this goal envisioned one way. What I have found over and over again is that we often didn't even know what was good for us or what was best or how we could best achieve that goal, but the higher ups who are helping us to co-create that had a much better idea. And so, yes, we often get to the same destination, but we got there via a different route. When you're manifesting, I tell people to remember that the law of attraction and the law of karma says you're going to get back what you put out. So if you are constantly focusing on this hasn't happened yet, this hasn't happened yet, this hasn't happened yet, then you have to remember that you're going to continue to perpetuate that cycle. The more you affirm to the universe, this has not happened yet, the more the universe is going to say, okay, that hasn't happened yet, that hasn't happened yet. It's like when the bills are coming in the mail and you're freaking out and you're and I'm not saying don't be financially responsible, but when you're focusing on how am I going to do this? I don't have this money. I don't have that. I'm not going to be able to pay that. All you're doing is you're sending out that negative statement to the universe, and you're sending out the negative energy. And it's just a natural law that says you're going to attract that back. So you're going to attract what? More debt, more negativity, more stress. So I have found that I have more abundance and I am financially better off when I just don't stress on it. And I say, you know what? I will get that taken care of, but I'm not going to freak out about it. And that brings me to to one of my mantras that always helps me to manifest, and that is, it'll all work out. And another medium taught me, all is in divine order. And I have to use those as reminders. You know what? When have I ever been let down that there wasn't some kind of something that saved my butt in the end? And it happens. And so I trust it'll all work out. And it always does. And I know people listening are probably thinking, well, that's nice for you, right, but that isn't how it happens in my life. Well, it may not have always happened for me that way. And it takes a lot of practice to reprogram. I mean, we're talking about reprogramming negative thought patterns that we have etched into our brains. We've created those neural pathways for such a long time that, yeah, it's a lot of work to spin it and put the positive twist and focus on the positive. But I'm telling you, I have found that to be one of the biggest keys to manifesting what you want, along with gratitude. And I found the gratitude thing probably in the last year or so. I realized, wow, if you want to really amp up the manifestation and get something a little faster, it's the gratitude. It's looking, because when you have gratitude for the things that you do have, you're sending out to the universe and affirming, look, my life is good. I have all this good stuff. Well, the same laws of karma, the same laws of attraction say, all right, yes, you do. Life is good. You have these good things. And you're going to attract those things back to you. And that's not to say that life is always going to be perfect, because, I mean, get real. This is physical reality we're in. Right. But there is a lot of power there to co-create. And if nothing else, even if you don't believe that you have the power to create or to co-create, know that you have the power to affect how you deal with a situation, how you perceive it, how you let it affect you, how you react emotionally or physically to it. So there is so much responsibility in all of this. But even if you only take that much responsibility and creative power in your life, know that you are in control of your reactions and the words that you speak and the way that you feel. And you can say, well, so-and-so made me feel this way. Well, that person may have given you the opportunity to feel that way, but you chose to allow it to affect you in the way that it did. And really, when it comes down to it, you chose to feel the way that you did.
Jim, let me ask you this quickly. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that at times when we as psychics see something for somebody and it doesn't seem like it just comes there, but I mean, and they get validation from other psychics in regards to the same thing that you're telling them, but it just doesn't seem like it comes about. And do you think that sometimes we hold ourselves back from allowing things to happen because of either something in our past that we haven't let go of, or because we're not doing the groundwork today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know that old saying, let go and let God? Somebody told me once, it's like when you're creating and manifesting, and thank you for bringing this up, because you brought in another very important aspect of manifestation, and that is, you put in the work, you put in the energy, you put in the focus, but then sometimes you've built this energy, but if you just hang on to it and hang on to it and refuse to let it go and let God do the other part, because we are co-creating, even though some of us are control freaks and we like to do it our own, and I am totally guilty, but we are co-creating. So if you don't let it go, once you've done all that you can do, and then let the rest of it work itself out, then absolutely we can stand in our own ways. Also, I find that a lot of people, they want something or we're seeing that it's going to come, but there might be that negative thought that they have within them. And a lot of times it is that thought of, I really don't deserve it. I want it, but I really don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not good enough for it. It's not really going to happen. And so you see all this potential right in front of the person, but because of that self-doubt, they're keeping themselves from it. And then that's when you know, oh, this is a major lesson for this person. It's like, once you learn this lesson, then you're going to get this reward, or then you're going to get past this and you can move on to the next stage. But we absolutely do keep ourselves hung up in certain stages. And you know, when you find yourself in that stagnation and you know that something's supposed to happen and you know it's close, but you just can't quite seem to get there and you feel the stagnation and you're frustrated, then it's time to stop. Take a few breaths, maybe just some meditation, some quiet time, and then go, what am I missing? There's something here that I'm not getting. There's something I'm not letting go of. There's something I haven't healed from. There's something that I'm not accepting. You know, what is it? What needs to be changed? And really, if a person comes to an intuitive and says, hey, I'm in a stagnation and I know there's something holding me back, can you help me figure it out? I mean, that might even be easier because they've already figured out half the work for us.
Right.
Often, yeah, we're creating our own blocks and it's just like there is a lesson there to be learned or something you got to let go of or shed before you can move forward. And I have a sneaky suspicion that you're talking more about relationship outcomes than any other type of outcome. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wanted to bring that up earlier in the show, and now we probably don't have enough time. It's your show, but it's interesting. I've been doing a little bit of work, and I don't want to, you know, bring myself down on psychic points here and make myself look bad, but I'm just going to be real. I have really started to notice with clients. You know how you often bring up the timeline things and what is your, you'll ask me, what's your perception on timelines?
See, I don't want to interrupt you, but I hate timelines, and I unless I'm really pressured, I won't give them, because what ends up happening, and I've even seen this with people that have called me in regards to a job, you know, and I mean, it's there, the job is theirs. But they don't follow up. They don't, you know, and what they do is they sit in their rocking chair and they become complacent and they stop doing the things that they would typically be doing, which shifts the energy.
That's very true. That is true. You have to, it's like if somebody wants to know, well, when am I going to meet Mr. Right? But yet they are always at home and they're not on a...
Right.
Website, or I mean, if they're not putting themselves, that's kind of a no-brainer. He's probably not going to knock on your door. Not that it's not possible, but probably not. What I have noticed for myself anyway is with timelines and things coming to be, it is a lot easier for me to predict things like jobs, moves, houses selling, checks coming in or being approved for this or that. But relationships are very tricky. And I've been pondering, and I'm okay to say in front of all of your listeners that I don't have all the answers yet. And this is definitely not an exact science. We're all still learning how this works. But I have noticed that the timelines are much trickier when it comes to relationships. And I really think that has to do because they are so emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. You've got two people that you're dealing with, plus the connection of the two people, plus they all have their own lessons and emotions and all of those things that they have to get through. And let's not forget free will. So I've noticed that those timelines are much trickier. So those of you listening who have not had your timeline come to fruition that your psychic, whoever has told you, this is, I'm like, case studying this one here. I think it's kind of fascinating. But this is what I've come down to, because then you think, okay, well, a new job or a move or those other things, yes, there's free will and different people involved, but they are not as emotionally charged as the love and relationships topic. And
you know,
Gemma, so
I've even years ago, I mean, I took a tarot card course to learn how to read tarot cards, because, you know, tarot cards reflect seasons. But then, mm-hmm. you know, what's happened with Mother Nature the last few years, we really don't have four seasons anymore. So, you know, that idea went out the window.
In Florida, somebody was saying the other day, yeah, we have summer and not summer.
Right.
But that we have here. Like, it's hot and it's more hot. I'm feeling very cheated out of my winter, and I'm sure your other listeners are probably like, oh, be quiet. But it's hot today. It's like 80-something degrees, and it's hot. And I'm like, this is January. This is just wrong. But, yeah, I mean, those things are – and I have little tricks. I view the wheel as a year, and I can kind of mentally turn the wheel in my mind, and certain months will jump out at me or be highlighted, or sometimes I'll tap my finger on the table and say, okay, show me where on the year that I can expect this to happen, and it'll – you know, I'll go around and it'll stop on a certain place. But the relationships can be trickier. But then there are other times when I've given the date of the wedding or the proposal or whatever. And I think, all right, well, that one was so much easier than this other one, but maybe they didn't have as much baggage. I don't know. It's really interesting.
I remember one time I was talking to a client and she was crying. And she asked me, she goes, when is he going to come back? And I said, you know, I really think that it's going to be like really soon. And I heard the doorbell ring and she goes, oh my God, I got to go. He's here.
He's back. And you're like, second like, wow. Point to be on that one. But she would have never believed if you said 2 minutes.
Right.
That's awesome. I love it.
Jim. We, you know, an hour is never enough, and
no.
I have to. I'm going to give you some psychic points back.
Okay.
Because you've really earned them, and I just more than anything else, and I want to give you a hug with this. You, my dear, are a very beautiful soul, and I hope that everybody that's listening will take the time. To go over to your website, and I've stuck it in the chat room a few times, and I'm going to give it out one more time, and it's readingsbygeminirose.com
or geminirose.net is a little easier.
Okay.
Either one.
And I just, you know, I've met some fabulous people through my radio show, and I've been very blessed that I can call some of them friends. And you truly are a friend, and you rock. You really do, and you're the real McCoy. You're not some lunatic out there throwing stuff around. And I, you know, other than that, I give you that little kick in the butt to get the books going. I mean, I've written mine 10 times. One day I'm going to actually sit down and write it.
Uh-huh. Craig. You know, thank you. That's probably why I love your show so much, because you're so genuine and sincere and nice. And, you know, I love being here and I value your friendship. And I just love getting together. And you always tell me I'm going to pick your brain. And I'm like, gosh, you just like to pick on me, period. But
hey, you've come a long ways, baby. I mean, you even know your damn phone number today.
12626 Gemini. I went and cheated and got an easy one so I could remember it.
Jim, thank you very much for spending the last hour with us, and I hope to have you back down the road sometime. Would absolutely love to have you come on, and you know, maybe sometime we can like break the mold a little bit and maybe even take some phone calls and shake the world up.
I know. I was thinking about that earlier. I got over doing the readings on air all the time a while back, but I thought maybe one of these days we should do that just to see what happens. I don't know. It'd be kind of crazy.
Crazy
or even just to call and talk about everything. But thank you so much for having me. And you know, I love to come back, so I'll be back whenever you invite me.
Super. Expect it soon.
All right, then. I will.
Hey, everybody. Just a quick thank you for tuning in tonight. And hey, don't miss me next Wednesday night. I have with me, Ginger Quinlan. Wow, where'd that go?
It was on the I was going to say somebody tongue. Really fantastic, you can bet.
Yeah.
And Ginger's really cool.
So have a great one, everybody.